Welcome back. It's Behind the News live on Radio Ghana to our very first story. About 250 people have died from gas-related explosions in the last 4 years, with the national capital Accra recording 6 of such explosions. In all these disasters, improper siting of gas or fuel filling stations, lack of supervision, and granting of permit indiscriminately have been cited as some of the major reasons. The latest explosion has ignited a debate again, with many calling for measures to ensure a permanent end to some of these disasters. ACEF, for instance, want a technical audit as a way forward. The President of the Republic, Nana Addo-Dankwa Akufo-Addo, has hinted that a major decision will be taken on this matter in the next cabinet meeting, hopefully Wednesday. Behind the News examines the phenomenon of gas explosions and the way forward. We have on the line Dr. Kofi Amponsan-Bediakon. He's the head of communications at the Ghana Standards Authority. Good evening, Doc, and welcome to Behind the News.
Good evening.
Doc, what are the requirements if one wants to locate or site, establish a filling station or a gas filling station?
Thank you very much. The requirements are numerous, and the decision is taken by a number of organizations. For example, the distance, the location is very important, and then the distance from where it is located to the roadside are also indicated in the requirements. But these things will have to be permitted by the district assembly in which it is to be sited. And that apart, NPA, which is the regulatory body, would also have to come in and agree that indeed a particular station should be located at where it has applied to locate itself. Apart from that, the EPA will also have to come in, because the activities of these filling stations affect the environment. And then, of course, when it comes to standards, Standards Authority will also come in. But let me simply explain that when it comes to the granting of license, the most important agencies are, one, the NPA, the EPA, and then the district assembly, which a particular station is to be located. But irrespective of which agencies grant the license, the bottom line is standards. If you obey the standards, safety standards, you realize that a man will be protected from all dangers, because the standards will tell you the underground tank, how it should be laid, even the structure of the station, how it should be built, how it should stand, the type of materials that should be used. They are all in the standard. And before you are granted a license by NPA, you will have to ascertain yourself that indeed you are ready to comply with all these standards. But if the standards are there, and we do not make any effort to ensure that these applicable standards are being enforced, that is where the danger is. In the standard, for example, there are some safety precautions that have been taken, such that if you construct your filling station in line with that applicable standard, you will notice that when there is any slight leakage somewhere, the system will shut off, will shut off by itself. And once it shuts off, it's not possible for any more leakage to move on and come in contact with any form of fire to lead to possible explosion. In the case of the atomic junction disaster, my information is that the leakage continued for some time, so it came into contact with some fire, and then boom, it exploded. So what I'm trying to say is that we need the standard as much as possible. Once we have the standard, once we obey it, the license when granted will see to it that indeed the applicable standards have been conformed to. And once this is done, we will all be safe.
What happens if the license is granted, but the people do not follow the standards?
That is where the problem is. Because when they are going in to apply for the standard, I'm sure they will tell MPA and APA that, oh, they are prepared to comply with the standard. And that is where we would have to be rigid. The regulator, that is the NPA, will have to come in and enforce and make sure that when the building is up to a point, they collaborate with DSA or Standards Authority to find out whether indeed the specifications are being complied with. Once they do this, by the time the building is completed or the structure is completed, we will be sure that such leakages or sources of danger will not happen. So the license, they will apply for it, they will get it, but we must enforce the standards, the applicable safety standards, to make sure that life and property are protected.
Is the Standards Authority in the know if fuel and gas filling stations are currently complying with most of the standards?
When you take a look at the filling stations, we would say that the safety standards are there. We have made noise about it. We can say for sure that it is not all the stations that have complied with this. But to be able to fight this problem, there will have to be a lot of collaboration between the GSA and the NPA. Because, you see, in the law, we are regulated by law. What we can do, develop the standards. When you develop the standards, it's the NPA that should use your standard to regulate the market or regulate the filling stations. If you develop the standards and they are not being enforced the way it is expected, the law says that it is the NPA that should go after them. And that is where I think there should be a lot of collaboration between the NPA, the Standards Authority, and even the EPA, together with the district assembly in which it is to be located. Once we all work towards this common goal, such disasters will stop. I can see the worry of the president when he heard it. He said these things have been going on for too long. A time has come for us to stop it. And I won't be surprised if he insists that before you put up a station, make sure that you comply with the standard. NPA must make sure that those who are not complying with the safety standards will have to be closed down, and corrective measures will have to be taken before operators can continue with their business. I wouldn't be surprised at all, because that is the only way to ensure safety of people in and around the location.
All right. I want to thank you very much for your time on our show tonight. Very grateful, sir.
Thank you very much.
Dr. Kofi Amponsan-Bediakon is the head of communications at the Ghana Standards Authority. We also have on the line a principal research analyst with the Institute of Energy Security, Richmond Roxon. Good evening, sir, and welcome to the program. Hello? It's Behind the News live on Radio Ghana. We shall try and re-establish contact with Mr. Roxon to join in this conversation. It's Behind the News live on Radio Ghana. Meanwhile, due to the spate of gas explosions that have bedeviled the nation in recent times, the Regional Command of the Ghana National Fire Service will embark on safety audit within the region. And a number of factors have been considered for this. We'll go to them very shortly, but we have Mr. Roxon Richmond back on the line. He's the principal research analyst with the Institute of Energy Security. Good evening, sir. Welcome to the program.
I'm Good evening to you and good evening to your cherished listeners.
Many are worried about explosions that has to do with gas or fuel filling stations. What is it that we are not getting right?
Once again, good evening to you, your cherished listeners. And let me use the opportunity to express my condolences to those who are bereaved, their families, those who are hurt as well. We wish a speedy recovery. And we hope that government will take the necessary steps to take good care of them. Where barrel services are necessary, the government will come to their aid with some support as well, because it doesn't end with the barrel. And where they are injured, the government will take very good care of them. And with time, we'll be able to address these challenges. Coming back to the substantive issue, it's a simple case of our institutions failing us. When you look at the Environmental Protection Agency, look at the MMDAs, that is Metropolitan Municipal District Assemblies as well. You also look at the National Petroleum Authority and the Ghana Standards Authority together. These are the institutions that have the mandate to grant permits to ensure that the regulations are adhered to ensure that safety measures are strictly adhered to at our filling station, to ensure that whether filling station attendants, whether drivers, anybody that has a role to play in the team of fuel supply,
Mr. Roxon, your line is getting bad. If you can reposition yourself, and there's a lot of noise on the background too.
Yes, I'm in church, so the noise is all that moved. The sound is still, but I apologize.
Does it matter where a fuel filling station is sited?
Yes.
In fact, the line is getting bad. Hello?
Your line is bad, so if you can call me back.
All right. We'll call you back. It's Behind the News live on Radio Ghana. You can also send your message. Our text line is 0266-026-941. And I was referring to the Ghana National Fire Service intention to embark on an audit of the filling stations, fuel and gas oil, and some of the checklists that all stations must have National Petroleum Authority, NPA, Environmental Protection Agency, Municipal, Metropolitan and District Assembly, and Ghana National Fire Service permit before they are allowed to operate. All stations must have gas detection system that will detect gas leakages and serve as early warning system. There should be an emergency shut-off valve that could shut off the gas should there be any leakage from the pipe. We have Mr. Roxon back on the line. Welcome back, sir.
Thank you, and apologies for the noise.
Right, I think it's better now. I was asking whether the location of a filling station, be it gas or fuel, matters.
Yes, it is important that we site filling stations at appropriate places. This is as a result of the residential areas that we have today. We know that there are certain areas that have been designated strictly as residential areas, areas that have been designated as commercial areas. If you are citing filling stations in residential areas or very close to houses where people live or very close to where activities, commercial activities go on often, this is dangerous because easily when something goes wrong, the effects of what is going to happen is that we are going to see such devastating results from any effects that happens or many unfortunate incidents that happen. So it's important that whilst we start filling stations, we take into consideration the safety of the community, the people around as well. It is important that we do not cite the agency itself 2 years ago told us that they had reviewed the standards and that they were going to implement a 500-meter distance from one filling station to the other. Unfortunately, the EPA itself has failed in implementing this. When you look at where this issue happened or where the unfortunate incident happened, you realize that there were about four stations there. Two gas filling stations and two filling stations, regular filling stations as well. So it's important that wherever we site it, we'll take into consideration the of people in the community. We'll look at the adverse effects should something go wrong, because you cannot, when something will go wrong, you cannot tell in the handling of fuel when you have a human error which will cause such disasters happen. So we think it's important that it should go according to what itself has said, that they are going to implement a 500-meter radius, and we think the Ghanaians must hold them responsible for that.
It appears that the city is growing. All other towns are growing. My understanding is that the time that this gas filling station was established around Atomic Junction, the place was a forest. Communities have grown to meet it. So do we blame the person who sited it?
No, you see, just like you mentioned, when it was constructed, the area was barely empty. That is the regulation. That is what is supposed to happen. It is the duty of MMDA, as well as these regulatory bodies, to make sure that such commercial activities do not go around the filling station, assuming without admitting that they have even been there for long. Who gave Total Filling Station the permit to share a boundary with this gas filling station? Who gave Goyal the permit to share a boundary with Total Filling Station? Who gave Benam the permit to share be around less than 50 meters from this gas filling station? These are some of the challenges that we've had, that with the city authorities, with the mandate of maintaining the law and order, they're maintaining how commercial activities should go, they're maintaining the town and planning's role that they are supposed to play, have neglected their duties. That is how come these communities have grown around them. That is how come you have a taxi station just beside the gas filling station. That's how come you have a trotro station just beside it. That's how come you have people selling. A basic example is Accra Mall. When you go to Accra Mall today, around Accra Mall has become a business environment where people sell. Our city authorities have seen it, but they have refused to act. And it is growing. Tomorrow, before we realize, that area would have developed into something else. It is simply because they have failed and they must be up and doing.
We live in a country where there's rule of law. Unfortunately, the institutions mandated to ensure the right things are done are not doing the right thing to some extent, and people's lives here are involved. Will it be out of place if the residents in an area decide to march up to a filling station and say, look, we will not allow you to operate because it's about our lives?
We think that in as much as these institutions are breaking the law, or the regulatory bodies that are supposed to be in charge are not doing what they are supposed to do, we don't think that it is right for the public to also break the law. Two wrongs do not make a right. We think that it's right for the public to express their view. When you want to demonstrate, go through the right processes and demonstrate to the authorities. You are not supposed to go to the filling station to go and demonstrate. These places are the same places you are complaining that they are. There's a possibility of causing havoc should anything go wrong. So if you're going back to demonstrate, we disagree. We think that we should turn the attention, we should turn our anger, we should turn our anguish and our disguise to the authorities, those who have the mandate. So yes, it won't be out of place to demonstrate at the premises of NTA. It won't be out of place to demonstrate close to the Flagstaff House. It won't be out of place to demonstrate in front of the Ministry of the Interior. It won't be out of place to demonstrate in front of the Ministry of Energy to express our disgust at what is going on. Because we think that the deaths, the loss of property, the injuries are becoming one too many. We are tired of the rhetoric, and this is about time Ghanaians stood up, Ghanaians spoke and expressed their words without any ambiguity.
to those in charge to make sure that these challenges or these unfortunate or avoidable incidents don't happen again.
All right. I want to thank you very much for your time. Very grateful for talking to us, sir. Richmond Roxon is a principal research analyst with the Institute of Energy Security. It's Behind the News live on Radio Ghana. Also joining us on the line is Professor Victor Achu Baku. He's the Director of Programs and Planning of Health and Safety Ghana, an NGO, and also a lecturer at the University of Cape Coast. Prof, good evening and welcome to the program.
Good evening.
Prof, what are we not getting right that day in, day out, we are living in fears of explosions, whether gas or fuel filling stations?
Well, it means that actually there's something happening in which we all of us might get to know. But well, I don't want to blame anyone because disaster can happen at any time. But I want to say that, you see, Ghanaians as we are, this June 3rd, similar thing happened. I think it happened again about three times. And when this happens, I think the government and entourage will go and inspect. After that, committees or commission will be set up to investigate. After that, what happens? Nobody gets to know about the outcome. And we are not implementing any law. Meanwhile, we have the safety laws. We have the regulations, which all of us must follow or must enforce. But this is not done. So year in, year out, this keep on happening. I think it is time we educate the public. And then everybody must be conscious of such disasters. And this must not continue to... We should not allow this to continue to happen.
Already some filling stations are in residential areas. Will it be ideal for such to be closed down?
Who am I to say it should be closed down? But I think if the law says it's not the best, then the law must work. If the law does not allow that filling stations should be put up in residential areas, then that must be enforced so that those things should be closed down. If that's what the law says, then it must be implemented. But because when this thing happens, that's what they say, that those filling stations at residential areas must be closed down. But I don't think any of them has been closed down. So the law must work. That means I insist on the law. If that is what the law says, yes, let's implement the law.
All right. Prof, I want to thank you very much for your time on our show tonight. Very grateful.
You are welcome.
Professor Victor Achu Baku is the Director of Programs and Planning of Health and Safety Ghana, an NGO, and he's also a lecturer at the University of Cape Coast UCC. Also on the line is the president of the Ghana Institute of Safety and Environmental Professionals, Nana Anu Amihia. Good evening and welcome to the program.
Good evening, sir.
Over the years, these things are not new to us. From where you are coming from, what is it that we can say is the problem?
Well, the problem is institutional failure. And if we, as a people, have made legislations and appointed institutions to ensure the sustainability of our environment, and if they are not working, I would even go the full hog by asking that the EPA should be shut down. The EPA, as an institution, they've outlived their usefulness together with town and country planning. So I think if the institutions are not serving us well, we should go for the full juggler and then shut them down.
Some have also said that because of the interconnectedness of the institutions involved, so you need to go to the local government here, the MMDCs, you need to go to EPA, you need to go to Standards Authority, you need to go to MPA. We should have maybe one institution responsible for these things, and that may work. Do you buy that?
Yes, if that is the argument, then the institutions that are being duplicated, then we should shut those institutions down and leave one institution, even the MPA, that we want the MPA to be in charge of all, that we make a one-stop at the MPA and shut down all the others like EPA. Because no development can take place without environmental permits from EPA. That's the starting point. So if that starting point and town and country planning are not serving us and going to subject us as citizens into harm's way, then we should get rid of them and then empower only one institution, like the NPA, to handle all these hydrocarbons that are subjecting all of us into harm's way. Let me give you an instance. Mexico, in the early 80s, they started doing the same things that we're doing here. No permit. The people were putting such hazardous facilities all over the place, littered all over the place. And what happened? It culminated into a disaster that we in the safety industry will call it the day the sky caught fire. And 19th November 1984, in the city of Mexico, San Juanico, where all those hydrocarbons were stored, there was a blast that within 2 hours, between 600 and 800 people were killed. And the telltale signs are being, God in his own way is giving us all the telltale signs that this is going to happen. This is, so all those things that we are seeing are just signals that the big one is coming. And we have to wait for the big one to come and wipe us all off on the face of this earth, like it did in San Juanico, Mexico. You see, if we haven't seen it before, then you can say, oh, okay, this is something abstract. But now, the little sign that we've seen at Atomic Junction tells you something, that if we don't do something about it, the next one is going to be a big bang. And believe you me, I'm telling you, you will not have your station, and I will not be sitting here talking to you on the telephone. The big bang that is coming, it will be big. And if you can see that Accra, within a space of 2 hours, if 600, 800 people, 1,000 people are going to die, then you go out there and let all these technocrats and the politicians pussyfoot about all these things. Oh, you're going to do this. This government comes in, they do nothing. Another government comes in, they repeat the same thing. It's like just musical chairs. It's just the characters that are changing. I don't see anything, any magic coming up within the next couple of days or within the next week. But I'm telling you, I'm not a doomsday monger, but I'm telling you that what I know, today I've been to Pong, the tank farm at Pong, and what I saw, the evidence on the ground, and the talking to the community. I'm telling you, when we reveal those things to you, you have your heart flying into your mouth and say, yes, what Nana is saying is not a doomsday monger, but when the big bang is imminent, I'm not saying it's whatever, it's imminent, it's coming. And my premonition tells me that Atomic One is just the tip of the iceberg.
Atomic One, I know a lot of journalists have done some stories on it before it happened, and they warn of a possibility of such a thing. Nobody reacted. Today we are here with it. The laws are there. You cannot just go there and evict somebody. What should the residents be doing?
So we allow, you see, this country, I don't know, there's something really wrong with us. So for the minority, because there's no political will that damn the consequences. If these people are breaking the law, I'm going to allow the law to deal with them. Come high water, or whatever they say, hell or high water, or hell or whatever that the phrase is. I'm so exasperated and so angry. And if every Ghanaian is as angry as I am, believe you me, we'll push the politicians to press the right buttons and do the right thing. Because nobody is angry as I am. Where I sit, I'm very, very, very angry. Because innocent bystanders are caught in this game where people, for the sake of self-aggrandizement, what they can get in, put in their pocket, they don't care about the health of others. That is what is annoying me. And if I say it, I'll go to the rooftop and say it and say it until something drastic is done. And if you, the media, don't come on board And let us tell the people who are responsible, the EPA, the town and country people, that they should stop putting filling stations and gas stations in the neighborhood, in the community. We, the community, we should get if there's a filling station next to your house, we should gather the courage and go out there, come and demonstrate. This thing, if it happens somewhere else, people will be on the street demonstrating. The Ghanaians, we go out there, oh, if I'm a yame, because we pray on every day. And ironically, I'm surprised, I'm amazed that anytime such situations happen, it happens on a day, on a quiet day, where there is no, densely human activity around the area. Imagine the atomic junction, where we have a throttle station. It was a weekday that people were milling out there, milling around there, taking throttles and whatever. My God, what would have happened? The casualties, the fatalities that would have seen on our hand. But I warn you, don't tell me that I didn't tell you. What is coming next? Believe me, Ghana would not survive it for as many years that I can estimate.
All right. I want to thank you very much for your time on our show. The Bible says they that have ears should listen. And I know Ami here is the president of the Ghana Institute of Safety and Environmental Protection. Interestingly, we've been trying to get the Lankwantanai Municipal Assembly to respond to this, since they are part of the chain when it comes to citing of this stage. We've been trying the Municipal Coordinating Director and the Municipal Chief Executive, but none is responding. We also have on the line Parko Akon. He's the Director of Communications of the Progressive People's Party. They are calling on Ghanaians to put on red and black and mourn dark moment. Good evening and welcome to the program. Hello, Pa. It's Behind the News live on Radio Ghana. We will be back after this break.
Sabi no 500 megabytes are a 5 Ghana cedis this year. E di na ubit media ye. Chale, anke wiasi be yes ronko. Na wadam fusu bisa wase bon azonto nyuma. Ube download the azonto nyumbi bre if it's a ubit me. Papa si ope Juliet Ibrahim sinipa. Ube tumia downloadu ni sini bibri if it's a ubit me. Esa nse wo data bibri and ni bovo form sun intino. Ube tumia ye nyuma bibri if it's a ubit me. Afe idie, ye mao 500 megabytes are a 5 Ghana cedis. 850 megabytes are a 10 cedis. 1.5 gigabytes are 15 Ghana cedis and 2.5 gigabytes are 25 Ghana cedis. But star 555 hash, na give data and shishaya ope. Inti koswana downloadi, uploadi, streami, pingi, snappy, tweety, posty, na like. After all, yen yet me ma data plans I mo do ye wa Ghana ha. If you say ye bet to me.
Glow Ghana, the grandmasters of data.
Nyeme okwafwe, afine ni honele, gogomihe ni achole amiwem, efite abele ngopi, efite abele jila ojogban. Afine ke, noni baabale, eye miyake, amiwem ne baanye ni efite abele ngon, ke ehes namo efen. Ye abele sele, amiwem ne nyo efite o ngomli, ni bi kroko me itamo, soyabin, omo, sorghum, ma, inkatie, kaopi, odonti, sabolai, ke cabbage. Ke anye anane, ke amiwem ne sem, Bejiano to ni sani anyo akefo amesele wa ni efite amenuchumo. Esa ake okwafwe yon amengmomni. Ochi fen ochi ke kuo koni amiwemne akafite amengmojinle amni. Be ne jibe kwakwani onyo ocha agrik extension nuchumo hebile. Alo advance nuchumo hebile. Kai mo ake, ami wem ne yong mommy, ni bi mla, ni enyo efiti o ni bi pi ye be kukumi. Ka ame waji ni ameng mele drale. E bi bi le yo baji ni yo chole no. Ame shio ni bi ni pelo ye baji le ahi. Ke ame na ame dale. Ame yo abele baale ni ame shio bu bi bi ye baji amni. Alo ame follow e baji ahi. Konko. Kolo e ne aten kome yo ke boto yo chole mni. Ke ya heni ekwon yele. Enek bi o chole alo e ha ni chole. chole akwenjugba. Keji wo ngonhulo e na nibi ine mlaye wo akutu ene amu. Esa ake ame wo onukpa e ni kwa ngomli nibi ine ahisanji ino tamo. Agriculture extension onukpa e. Eee. Ye wo akutu ele Ministry of Food and Agriculture nichumohele. Ni ame kwe haamo ene ni gba okwafwe anane mla. Obanye otra ameye kwa anenu. 026-6222-002. Alo 020-121-221. Lo 057-76-62-000. Nichumoneje USAID Advanced Project ke Plant Protection and Regulatory Service Directorate, PPRSD. Ye Ministry of Food ke Agriculture, MOFA. Feed the Future ke US Government Global Hunger and Food Security Initiative. Ni advance ni chulo eke kwa ngomli ni bike amenoya. Ni ewa abele omo ke soya bin hese namo ye Ghana.
Welcome back. The PPP wants Ghanaians to be in black and red because of what has bedeviled the country. I have on the line the Director of Communications of the party, Paco Akon. Good evening and welcome to the program.
Good evening, George. Thank you for having me.
It is not the first time we are witnessing this. Are you saying that anytime you have a disaster, you tell us to wear red?
Well, thank you for having me. We in the Progressive People's Party believe that what has fallen this nation calls for sober reflection. And it's indeed a time for us to really ask ourselves the question of whether indeed we have people who are ready to provide solutions to our problems. As you rightly indicated, this is not the first time. And I'm not sure this will be the last. Clearly, from what we have seen over the period, it's an issue of leadership. And that is where we must put the blame where it's due. We know how some of these companies or some of these filling stations, how they manage to secure permits for setting up their operation. We know that the law allows for the establishment of such institutions for as long as they are ready to do so 100 meters away from residential locations. But that is not the case. You see people clearly violating the law, and they do so with impunity because the people who are supposed to check them are the same people, are the very people who are the owners of such facilities. So clearly, it's always difficult for the law enforcement agencies to act. And we are saying that we can't continue this way. We can't continue on this path of perpetual disregard for our laws. If we are serious and want to advance as a country, then when people offend the law, they must be dealt with. We always talk about this, and nobody is punished for anything. Look at what happened 2 years ago at FECO. Look at what happened at Twitter. And you can go on and on and on. At the end of the day, nobody is punished. We only talk about it, and that is the end of the issue. But we believe that going forward, we must also begin to think about what it is that we can do for the next generation. Probably we may have to think about how we can include in the curriculum in our schools issues about safety, about sanitation, about hygiene, and all these are critical issues that
there are a lot of programs on that in our schools.
Well, I don't think it is enough. I'm yet to come across a school where children are taught first aid. I'm not sure. I'm not sure they do that in their schools. It may be in the book, but as to whether they are able to practicalize it for the children to appreciate what they can do in difficult times, in times of crisis, what they need to do, I am not sure as a country we have thought about that.
All right. I want to thank you very much for your time on our show tonight. Very grateful. Paco Akon is the Director of Communications of the Progressive People's Party, PPP. A few meters away from the scene of the atomic junction gas explosion is the University of Professional Studies, UPSA. Earlier today, students of the university staged a protest against a fuel filling station very close to the university campus. The move by the students brought to halt academic work in the school. We have been joined on the line by the PRO of the Student Representative Council of UPSA, Winston Kwaukume. Good evening and welcome to the program.
Thank you, sir. Good evening.
And good evening. Why are you now protesting against the failing station, which has been there for some time now?
Okay. I would say our predecessors, that's led by Sidney Korte, the past SRC president, and the past vice chancellor, Professor Alabi, they tried to stop the construction of the building from the onset. They tried so much. They petitioned the EPA, they petitioned the NPA, they petitioned the Madina Langkwantanan Municipal Assembly. But the thing went to some level and it came back. And we, the students, we feel there are some forces at the top that is blocking, because a whole vice chancellor, the matter came back that he permitted, and he said, he came out in public that he didn't permit anything. And he challenged that the student representative council led by Sydney, they should prevent. But they tried, and it wasn't successful. So the building, the EPA, the NPA gave them the permit to put up the building. So the student, we didn't have any solid grounds to stand to fight against them. And just this Saturday, the explosion, where the explosion happened in our school, it's about 7 kilometers. It's very far. But when the explosion happened, we felt the impact on the campus. Students on campus were running away. Some people got burned. And lectures were also going on at our lecture block complex. And some lecturer was lecturing. And from the student, they said the lecturer fell down. And he started running out of the classroom. Student also followed. But from that, student got hurt. We went to the school hostel yesterday to look at the student. And when we saw the scene, it wasn't good. Students are really, really hurt. Oh, about 25 students are seriously injured. That is one. That are the students that we have seen. But those who live around we don't even know the number, the particular number of students who are hurt. Students are scared that we have been sitting on a time for so long. So this is serving as a wake up call for the students of the University of Professional Studies. It's a wake up call for us. And we should rise. In this time, when we rise, our voices will be heard. We are crying. Today on campus, we were about to demonstrate. Students were on campus. Students were angry. There are some pressure groups on campus. The SRC just came in to calm. The SRC was rather calming the student, because we have drafted a message, a letter to the police, and they said our letter has not reached the right place. So we can demonstrate, but we can't go outside. So we have to control the students on campus, preventing them from going outside. Though some SWAT team came around to prevent students from. We also begged students, because we signed that we are not going to demonstrate today. So they said Friday, by Friday our letter will be addressed. So we told the students to calm down, but students said they are not coming to school until the self-filling station has been demolished, because of the fear and panic.
Thank you very much for your time. Let's see what happens on Friday, and we may get back to you. Winston Kwaukume is the PRO of the Student Representative Council of the University of Professional Studies, Accra, UPSC. We also have on the line the Registrar of the University of Professional Studies, Dr. Mustafa Sidio. Good evening, Doc, and welcome to the program.
Yeah, good evening. Thank you.
Doc, what's the state of the injured students in your school?
I think it was as a result of the stampede emanating from the explosion. You know, those who were in West trying to run to safety, even not knowing where the imminent danger was coming from. So I think in the bid to do so, they crashed into each other and some fell along the staircase. So there are a bit of leg injuries and that kind of thing. We don't have many head, no head injuries.
Oh, okay.
Neck injuries that we have.
All right.
But we are attending to them. The medical, the clinic is attending to them. I mean, since yesterday, they have been attended to.
All right. We thank God it's good no lives have been lost there. But
yes.
What is the university position on the fuels filling station very close to the campus?
You would understand, as well as I just spoke to the students, I mean, once this has happened, they are seeing that it's even far away. And even the impact that they felt, they felt on campus and around campus. If it's that close, if it happens very closely, then you can imagine what is the nature of the disaster. So I think that the students, even though they are emotional about it, they are rightly so justified in doing that. And we also have to come in and then give them reassurance that, how do you call it, their safety and then security is of paramount concern to management, and management has been working on that for some time now in respect of the sighting of the filling station.
And how far have you gone with that?
Oh, yeah. When it actually started sometime last year, April last year, when the construction was going on, and we got wind that it was a filling station. So started agitating. And wrote a petition. We wrote to EPA. The EPA came in and then indicated to us that, I mean, they had followed the due process. We said, no, there's one major process that is of importance to citing a filling station. The stakeholders must, there should be a stakeholders forum where how the sensitization will be carried out for people to know what is going on. And there, how they relate to what is the activity that's coming on. And we were not, we as a major stakeholder, were not invited. And so the FRC actually embarked on some few demonstrations and then press conferences and decided to go, take it upon themselves to go and then talk to the residents around. And then it came out that most of them said they didn't know about any consultation that was made in respect of that. So we wrote to EPA again and then told them that this is what the situation had been. It had been EPA writing to us. One day, they invited us sometime at the beginning of the year to come to a forum whereby, I mean, whereby they'll show us the documentation of the listen. But as we speak now, they have not shown us the documentation that actually indicates that they invited the stakeholders to the forum, and that were part of it.
So what is the priority of the university? Is it that the filling station must be closed, or you want to be assured that they followed all the laid down procedures?
Chief, I'm not sure what happened at the atomic junction. One will come out and take out his neck guard. They didn't follow the lay down procedure. The point is that we just want, if there's anything like assurance of safety, I think that everybody should go and speak. But in the event that, I mean, the unexpected should happen, that is where everybody is concerned now. But I think that if there's something that will assure the students, I mean, to feel at ease, not only the students, but in fact the university community, I think that is something that is worth looking at. Even though emotional-wise now is that relocate or closure.
All right. We want to thank you very much for your time on our show tonight. Very grateful, Doc.
My pleasure.
Dr. Mustafa Seydou is the registrar at the University of Professional Studies, UPSA. It's Behind the News, live on Radio Ghana. Some of your text messages. Good evening, George. I don't even know who is doing what. We all know that people are paid to work, but we see people giving permit to site these petrol stations anywhere, anyhow. Tijani Wandani sent in this inside Boko West District. My condolence to the bereaved families of those who lost their lives during the Saturday gas explosion in Accra. Amadou Umar Naba sent in this from Mankarigu. Mustafa in T Police says, I want to commend the Ghana National Fire Service and all security agencies, including the National Disaster Management Organization, for the swift response they gave out to save more lives and properties during the explosion at the Atomic Junction over the weekend. My condolence to the bereaved families. The Atomic Junction gas explosion should not be politicized. We should rather take good measures to prevent subsequent ones from occurring again. Napoleon in Tumu Sankofa Base sent in that one. This one says, my condolence to the families of the victims of the gas explosion at Medina in Accra. We should be up and doing as a country to avert some of these avoidable disasters. Nuruddin Abdul Basit in Takrade sent in that one. Hi George, this is Philip from Kubrisu in Ofenso North District. Ghanaians are not serious about issues, especially our leaders. If a disaster happens, we will talk about it 1 week and that ends it. George, mark it. Somewhere in 2 weeks' time, you will not hear anything about this explosion. It's Behind the News. We are live on Radio Ghana.
Register and pay your TV license fee anywhere, anytime. There are basic mandatory information you need to register. If you're a domestic TV user, we will need your surname, your first name, and a password created by you. We'll also need your mobile phone number, your email address, which is optional. We need to know the number of households, that is, if the households are in different locations, and also the number of television sets in each household. For that of companies or partnership, as in domestic TV users, we will need the entity's name, we'll need a password created by you, and then also an email address, the contact person's mobile number, and the number of outlets or the number of TV sets. For inquiries, call 056-11-00800 or 056-11-00900. Any person or corporate body who contravenes the law commits an offence and is liable on conviction to a fine or to a term of imprisonment or both. Avoid embarrassment. Pay your TV license fee now. Remember, payment of TV license fee is your civic responsibility.
It's probing, it's intrusive, yet exciting. Your daily news analysis program, Behind the News, is on Radio Ghana at 8 p.m. sharp, Monday to Friday. Join the crew and be part of all the interesting analysis and hard interviews on your exciting Behind the News. Also heard on Radio Central 92.5 in Cape Coast, Sunrise FM 106.7 in Kofodia, Radio BAR 93.5 to 9, Radio Upper West 90.1 in Wa, Volta Star Radio 91.1 and 91.3 in Ho, Obonu FM 96.5 Tema, and Twin City Radio 94.7 in Sekendi Takrade. And remember, we are on GBC's unique FM 95.7, which is online via TuneIn Radio.
Some of your messages. The sad event last Saturday night must be a wake-up call for government to strictly enforce safety precautions and regulations at all filling stations across the country. Andrew Manga sent in this from Boko. Good evening, George. You are doing great, but Ghanaian leaders only talk orally. but they don't act practically. Jacob from Charlie in the Upper West Region sent in that. George, my heartfelt condolence to the families of those who lost their lives and a speedy recovery to the injured. May God be with them. Monica Cons in Avrongo sent in that one. The people of Ilubu in the Jomro district in the Western region are living in constant fear following insecurity in the area. The natives of the area say they are being attacked by armed robbers from different angles and during different times of the day. They complained, for instance, that on the 29th of last month, a gentleman was murdered in his residence, and up to date, the police have made no arrest. Also, on the 7th of October this year, some stores in the town were broken into by thieves, and a lot of items were made away by these robbers. Yet, the police are not doing much. We have on the line the assembly man for the area, and he is Moses Andor. Good evening and welcome to the program.
Thank you, sir. Good evening to your charity listener.
Thank you for your time. What is exactly happening in your area?
I would say that we are living in fear. As you rightly said, just last week, on the 30th of September, armed robbers broke into a neighbor's house and then in the process shot him dead. A week after, some stores were broken into again. Items were stolen. I'm even told that one of them deal in ammunition. And so some of the ammunition were also stolen. And so everybody is living in fear. So far, no arrest has been made. And we are, in fact, very, very unsecured.
You are the assembly member. What have you gathered from the police?
My last check indicated that there was no link as to who are the perpetrators.
But are they giving you why they are not arresting people?
For the murder case, there was no trace. The only information I had was that they were able to get some information with regards to the registration number of the car that is suspected to have been used for the operation. And so they are checking from the DVLA who owns that car. And that would give them the leeway as to who could have been responsible for the act. But so far, apart from that, we've not had any other information.
All right. I want to thank you very much for your time on our show tonight. And we pray that God will be the person guiding you there.
Yeah, but we're also praying and hoping that at least national security, because Elubu is a border. And if Elubu is insecure, it means Ghana is insecure.
Sure.
So we are expecting that at least as soon as possible, something should be done before the things get out of hand. Because as these people have taken hold of these ammunitions, we don't know what is going to happen the next minute.
All right. Thank you very much. Moses Andor is the assembly member for Elubu electoral area. We contacted the police command there, and the commander is... he is not willing to talk, and that he referred us to the regional police command. And there, to the public relations unit, is telling us that they do not have information to the effect that these things are going on in Elubu. It's Behind the News, live on Radio Ghana. Thanks for your time. My producers have been John Pobi, Belland Elom Tete, and John Akampale. Sound technician has been George Kwaku, and I'm George Asikri. Good night.